Education was also one theme of Tony Abbott's campaign this afternoon, though he didn't make any policy announcements. Instead, he fulfilled a long-standing commitment to speak at a school function in Sydney. It was for the Mercy Sisters Institution, which has been responsible for his sister's education and his daughter's. One of those daughters, as he reminded his audience, once called him a lame, gay, churchy loser. The self-deprecating jokes came after the opposition leader tried again to switch the election spotlight back onto immigration and asylum seekers. Sabra Lane is following Mr. Abbott on the campaign trail and filed this report.
Tony Abbott and his immigration spokesman Scott Morrison held a media conference this morning to detail their latest talks with the Nauruan government over the reopening of a detention centre on the island. At the end of the conference, it was revealed another boat had been intercepted off Christmas Island.
When Julia Gillard was the Shadow Immigration Minister, she used to say, by press release, another boat, another policy failure. Now, she didn't get a chance to say that very often, because under the Howard government, there were, on average, three boats a year. Under this government, there have been, on average, three boats a week. There have now been 151 policy failures from this government, and that's on the logic of the Prime Minister herself.
On Sunday, Scott Morrison made a lightning trip to Nauru to inspect the detention centre there. He says the country is ready, willing and able to reopen it if asked, but he can't say how much it'll cost to run.
When the Nauru facility was established in 2001, it cost $80 million, and that was to establish it, everything built. And my estimation at this point is it's going to be significantly less than that.
The Coalition's also promising a review into the hiring of local workers at Australian missions overseas and an investigation into claims of bribery and corruption over the issuing of passports at these offices. Mr. Morrison was asked if he was tarnishing the good name of many local workers without having any proof.
It'll be a proper review, and we will come to a conclusion following that review, and I have no doubts about the integrity of Australian staff working in our various embassies and other places, but it's important that the Australian confidence has the Australian people has this confidence, and that's why we've been initiating this review.
And Mr. Abbott was asked to give his vision for Australia's position in the world under a coalition government. He says under the Howard government, Australia had punched above its weight, but that relations with Japan, Indonesia and India had taken a slide under Labor, and he's signalling change.
One of the best things that we could do to boost our relationship with India is sell them uranium. If it's good enough for the Americans to sell them uranium, it should be good enough for us.
He also took a shot at confirmation that Kevin Rudd's accepted a part-time job with the United Nations. The job will require Mr. Rudd to attend three meetings in 12 months. But Mr. Abbott says, combined with Lindsay Tanner's resignation and John Faulkner's decision to go to the backbench, it sounds like a part-time, unstable government.
Not only do we have a situation where the Prime Minister can't say who her finance minister will be, who her defence minister will be, who her foreign minister will be after the election, we've also got the prospect of part-time ministers in the Gillard cabinet, should the government be re-elected. It's just not good enough. Australians deserve a full-time government, and they won't get that if this government is re-elected.
Mr. Abbott took time out from campaigning to speak at a lunch event for the Monte Sant'Angelo Mercy College, an institution responsible for the education of Mr. Abbott's three sisters and his three daughters. He agreed to it months ago. The MC reminded Mr. Abbott that he once defeated Monte's female debating team.
I'm surprised we actually invited him here at all.
I've always been very wary of debates involving women, and it's nice to be reminded of an occasion where I won.
He gave praise to the college for his daughter's education, reading a note that one of his daughters had written for a school assignment about the pressures of being in a political family.
As other teenagers do not have this sort of pressure on them, it leaves them free to do things that I have to think twice about. This has made me, in some cases, a more cautious person. It is very difficult being part of the family of a politician. And I want to say how honoured and thrilled I am that my wife and my daughters have been so supportive of me over the last 16 years in public life.
But he says not all aspects of his daughter's education were perfect.
I can't say that the religiosity was everything that I might have hoped for. I was famously described by one of my daughters as a lame, gay, churchy loser. One of my Monty daughters as a lame, gay, churchy loser when I asked her to do something that she didn't particularly want to do.
The opposition leader, Tony Abbott, ending Sabra Lane's report.